Hi guys, I'm Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and I'm with my good friend Richie Swan.
Hi.
And we are a girl and a guy in the gym.
So, today is a day with another guest because it was my time to plan, not Harriet's. I've decided it's easier for me to just invite someone in who can do all the talking rather than me having to do some prep. I've got my client Freddie with me. I've known him for about 10 years, is it?
Yep, I think so.
And Freddie actually has a really interesting story about where training's led him over the past 12 months. And I just thought it'd be really good for people to listen to his story and what he's achieved by just putting his mind to something and sticking to it.
Thank you, Richie. It's great to be here.
We've talked about quite a bit through the podcast about your ping moment. So that moment that made you go, all right, I want to change some shit up here. I want to do something. Something's clicked with me or something's changed in my life that's made me want to do something new. And we were wondering, did you have one of those moments?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say I probably had two pings. I had a slow ping and a fast ping. Ooh. So, I mean, in terms of a bit of background about me, like I'm 37 years old. I live in Liverpool, even though I know I don't exactly sound like a Scouser, but I've lived here for 10 years now. And I've got two boys. And so my first son was born when I was 30 years old. And once he was born, you get all the things that you obviously have with childhood, like sleepless nights, eating crap, no time, stress, tired.
I can't wait to have this baby.
I know, I'm really telling you to lie. It's the most magical gift in the world. And I was going through all this, and yeah, it was really hard work. But I noticed the dad bod coming on, and in the past, like, you know, back when you're in your 20s and you've got your Ibiza trip coming up and you're in the gym 10 times a week. And I was all over that. But then I had my kids and it was like dad bod city. So, you know, the muscle was going, the gut was coming on, and I was just letting myself go, to be honest. And then one day I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, do I have to tolerate this? Because everyone says that's what happens when you have kids. That's the way life's supposed to be. And I thought, actually, I don't want to be a bad example to my kids. I don't want to just get bigger and bigger and more unhealthy and go from running marathons to not be able to run up the stairs. So I thought, I want to make a big difference in my life and change. That was the sloping, that creeping realization that I want to go in a different direction. And a bit of a faster ping was my dad dying, unfortunately. So I had, it was a couple of years ago, I had just a normal day at work, sat in an office, moaning at a spreadsheet, and I got a phone call. And then 5 hours and about 300 frantically driven miles later, I watched my dad die. So it was a crazy day. You start off in the morning having a sandwich and
getting frustrated over a spreadsheet
life-changing. Exactly,
yeah.
And watching someone that you've known all your life, obviously, and that you love, literally taking their last breath in front of you, it does make you think that life is short and life is precious. And it really, you know, I had a crash course in not wanting to waste my life or do anything like that. So I thought, right, I did the obligatory spending 3 months in the pub and getting it all out that way. And then I thought, again, I can't carry on like this. So I signed up for a marathon and then I signed up for another marathon.
You never just done a marathon. What else did you do?
No, so I did a couple of marathons and I thought, well, I quite like pushing myself. So I did a race called the Marathon des Sables.
God, what is that?
That means the Marathon of the Sands, which is known as the world's toughest foot race. So it's the toughest race in the world.
So go on, talk to us about that. What is it?
So that is a 250-kilometer race through the Sahara Desert. And it's a self-supported race. So it's basically the equivalent of running 7 marathons in 6 days with all your food and your clothes and everything on your back and rationed water.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, we can sign you guys up for it next year if you fancy it. I'm sure they're always accepting more people.
No, I'll pass on that one, thanks.
And you did it?
So I did it just over a year ago now. I didn't know what I was letting myself in for, to be honest. I mean, just the thought of, you know, it's getting all your food, getting a week's worth of food into a 6-kilo backpack. I was burning about 10,000 calories a day. Because you're walking or running through up to 30 miles a day.
So your dad passed away. Was that when you were like, wow, I want to prove to myself I can do these things. I want to leave a legacy, or I want to show my kids that they can do. What was it that made you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'd always had my eye on this race because I do naturally like to do some crazy things. I think it's like my early midlife crisis. I'd always had my eye on this race, but I'd always given myself excuses. I know that's something you talk a lot about, Richie. I was always saying, but I couldn't do that, or I'm going to do it next year, or I can't afford it, or I don't have the time to train, or I'm not fit enough, or I'm not fast enough, or I'm not young enough. All these excuses I lined up for myself.
And that's all they were.
And that's all they were, the excuses. Yeah. And then seeing him die like that made me think that life is precious, that it can just get taken away so quickly. So I thought, no, I'm going to get rid of these excuses, and I really pushed myself.
Yeah.
And in doing that, also set an example for my children and for other people that you can do anything that you set your mind to.
Yeah.
Growing up as a kid, I wasn't one of those sporty kids. I was never going to play for England or play for Liverpool in the football. And I was on the chubby side.
Hey, well, if anyone can go on Instagram and see Freddie now, it doesn't matter what kid you are. Them abs. If anyone wants to give his abs a like, we'll get it right up straight away.
Oh, that's why you train him, isn't it?
He keeps his top on. I did recommend we train topless, but he said no.
I didn't know what all these, like, Rich was like, it's Naked Tuesdays in the gym, and I was like, no, nobody else is naked, but
imagine.
For legal purposes, I did not actually get naked.
Let's go back to the Marathon des Sables.
Yeah.
You sign up.
Yeah.
You get there, you're on the line, and you're not thinking, what on earth was I thinking?
Yeah, I was. I was thinking, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. And everything, you know, it's a bit like, you know, doing the London Marathon, which I did as well. And everyone...
Which now seems like nothing compared to that.
I'm sure there's some people in the South listening to this, but it's all very Southern. It's like, oh, darling, you must do this race. It's wonderful. And the atmosphere is amazing. I just thought, this is fucking horrific.
What? Do we talk about the Marathon des Sables?
They were like, say, oh, it's the most wonderful experience on earth, darling. You're back to nature and everything else. And I was just there. Shitting myself, thinking, what the hell have I signed up for? You've really done it now.
I was thinking, did you have to go for a wee and a poo in the desert as well?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Did you, yeah?
Yep, no. Wees and poos in deserts. And
pure Paula Radcliffe.
Yep.
That's like me.
Pure dig a hole.
And
then... But for poos, they give you little plastic bags that they...
So it's like being a dog.
Yeah, it is, basically. You try and... but it is pretty nasty, like, because all this, like, I had one spare pair of pants that I treated myself on halfway through. So you're in the desert in all that dust and that sand and 55 degrees heat running marathons, and you can't change your pants and socks.
You suck a pack of a Savlon.
I know, yeah.
The also fun thing with this race is they launch or release a camel at the same time every morning.
I just jumped on it and got a little lift.
Yeah. So they launch a camel at the same time. And if the camel catches you, then you're out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and camels walk quite fast. So you're going through a desert.
This is a true story. Yeah, you're out if the camel catches you.
Yeah, if the camel gets you, you're out.
Wow.
So I was going through it, and the sun's coming down. It's 55 degrees, and you sort of looking over your shoulder to see if you can see a camel.
Give it a toes. Camel toes.
Yeah. And as we all know, like, one camel toes bad, but four is just, you know, you're in trouble then. And that worst moment was actually on that long day. So I'd been going all day, and then it was still nighttime.
Was that the midweek?
The long day. So I'd done about 40 miles.
Obviously, it's 55 degrees. You're probably 3-4 days in. What keeps you going? Because there must be a point where you go, my God, do you know what? Is it really worth it?
Yeah, I'd say I had that about 10 times a day, to be honest.
And what, how'd you carry on?
So I think what worked for me and what may work for anyone else that's trying to overcome any sort of challenge is I had this big, scary, intimidating problem in front of me, but I tried to just really break it down into small chunks. So, I mean, obviously, the Sahara Desert's a big, sandy place.
I was going to say, how'd you break down 7 days, 6 marathons, 55 degrees... and a desert into small chunks.
Well, I knew every morning, if I thought of it like that, I'd put my hand up and say, get me out of here. But to find out where we were going, at every sort of 500 metres, there'd be like a little pile of rocks or a little stick in the sand painted pink or some little marker to keep us going, really. So what I did was I just focused on the next point in front of me and just said, right, get to that next one and then get to that next one. So I tried to break down a horrible challenge into small chunks, and a lot of it, to be honest, was just putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Especially at night time, like I say, on that long stage, when it was 2 o'clock in the morning, there was literally no one around me. Everything was pitch black, so you could see like a billion stars in the sky. But I was hallucinating, and there were like...
Did you actually hallucinate? Yeah.
So I was talking to someone who wasn't there.
Oh my God.
Like, you must know, Rich, like after a big weekend...
He's always talking to people that aren't there. Yeah.
You know, like after a big weekend when you started to hear things, or like you see things out the corner of your eye and think, was it there?
Was it there? Was it not?
Yeah, like a lot of people flying back for Ibiza or something, going through that sort of like mindset. And I was hallucinating. I was falling apart, basically. Like I'd be having...
Do you think that was from the dehydration or the exhaustion or a bit of both?
Well, it turns out it was. And yeah, you're absolutely right, because I was drinking water and 2 minutes later I'd be pissing blood.
No, actually blood?
Yeah, actually
blood.
No, you weren't. And then you think, well, what do you do? Because this...
So was there a medic to talk to you?
No, there wasn't. So I was like, I'm not a doctor. That was the moment where you think, I think things are going to go a bit wrong here. And then you start to think like, am I actually going to die? And then your mind just goes to a whole other place, because then you just, it's not a race anymore. It's just thinking about...
Fight for life.
Yeah, it's trying to survive, really. And it really is. It's like...
Was you running with anyone else? Did you like team up with someone who could like kind of get you through it and companionship?
Well, I thought it was good because I was running with someone else for quite a while, but then I realised it didn't actually exist. So it was a bit annoying. I was talking to them.
Was he weighing blood?
You know, like when you have one of those dreams, you're like, oh, I'm dreaming, aren't I? And I looked around and I was like, oh, I'm hallucinating, aren't I?
No way. Is that true?
Yeah. So I just had to get to the next checkpoint, and they do give you like an emergency like beacon and flare. So... I could have set it off and got rescued, but then I knew that everything that I'd trained for and everything that I'd been thinking about for 2 years would be over. I'd have to go back to my friends and family and say I failed, which I wasn't prepared to do, which may not have been the most sensible idea at the time.
Well, but, Freddie's wife, Sarah's a doctor, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
So when you got over the line and you were like, babe, I've been weighing blood, was she concerned or was she just like, serves you right?
She was like, serves you right, that's too many stupid things done with you, yeah.
Oh my God.
I've had to deal with the kids alone for a week, it's your own fault.
Yeah, exactly. So you've been off on a holiday in the desert, getting a suntan.
So how did you feel after you finished it? Was that your itch scratched, I suppose, for wanting to achieve something, or did that then fuel it? Do you want to go somewhere else and do more? And
it just fueled it, to be honest.
So it just lit a match.
I came home and a lot of people were thinking, right, you know, has he got this out of his system now, or you know, is he going to go and buy a motorbike or something next? But no, I really got the bug, and what I loved doing about it was hopefully trying to inspire people, especially children. I went into my son's school after I came back from the race, and it was just amazing to talk to kids about, well, trying to talk about the marathon, but also for anyone. Like, I know I do things that are quite extreme, but I also know that for other people, the thought of going to a spin class or the thought of setting foot in a gym for the first time.
That's your marathon, isn't it?
Yeah, it could feel just as scary. And just because what I did was a big distance in a hot place, it doesn't mean that someone else took a different sort of challenge would feel just the same. So it's about helping people to recognize that they can do these scary things, they can overcome these challenges, and they can really make their dreams come true. It's just about putting a plan together and having some belief.
So we met because then you started training with me not long after. It was about 6 months or so
about
after
that.
What was it that made you then go, right, I want to go into training? Because that was for the dad bod then, wasn't it, we were talking about? So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I was going back to the dad bod a bit. I was a bit like, it's almost coming out of I'm a Celebrity or something. Like, I'd come out of my extreme place and I just sort of sat back on the sofa for 6 months, just dining out off it and telling the stories, and you go for some beers and you have some burgers, and then before you know it, I was like, hang on, I'm going back to that place that I didn't want to be at.
I
think it's partly physical, but also it's about mental health as well, and I've certainly struggled with my mental health in the past, and I was finding myself going back into those, some of those dark, doubtful places. So again, I thought, who's the man that you call on when you need to fix your body and your mind? And that's the one and only Richie Swan. I didn't even get paid for saying that. I wanted to, you know.
They could choose, geez, I'll sort the payments. Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought I wanted to keep on changing. I think it's all very well. I didn't want to be one of those people that does something quite big and quite drastic, but then they're still talking about it 20 years later. And I wanted to, again, keep on inspiring my kids. So yeah, I wanted to go and see Richie. I wanted to build muscle, to lose some fat and to feel better about myself. And I think even after doing a crazy race like I did, I still needed to build some self-belief and some self-love.
What I did notice when I first like started training with you was, like you were saying before, even though you had these big goals and whatever, everything was looked out with a half full glass rather than everything was the negative side rather than the positive side.
You mean half empty?
Yeah. But did I say half full?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, half empty. You know what I mean. I'm not great at these sayings, you know this. But I introduced you to The Secret, didn't I?
Yep.
Rhonda Byrne, which you can get on YouTube or Netflix.
Yep, free.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you find doing that?
I thought, I thought it was really good. At the start, I was like, what the hell am I doing? I was going to say I'm supposed to be some sort of like some macho bloke, but I'm probably not the most blokiest bloke you've ever met. But I sat down to watch it and it was all very, you know, ask the universe and it will deliver and the law of attraction and everything else like that. But then I you know, it started to work and I started to believe it. And I do firmly believe that for myself and for all of us, we all do have a purpose in life. I think we've all got things that we're great at. We all deserve to have fulfilling, happy lives. But sometimes we have to put some work in to achieve that. And I think what you did by putting me onto that, Richie, was you allowed me to believe and you allowed me to start to create a life that I really wanted, a life that I dreamt of, and also a life that I really felt like I deserved.
That's great. Oh, I got all lost for words then. That's great. I don't know what to say. Oh.
Have a cry.
It's a secret.
I promised I wouldn't cry.
No, but you were from that. What, like, you've had a bit of a mad year in terms of you went on then to write a book.
Yep.
Didn't you? So you've wrote your own book. You've sent it out, hopefully. In fact, if anyone's listening, get in touch if you know anyone who's what do you call it, a publisher?
Yeah, it's a publisher.
Because we have a book to get published here.
It is an amazing... But you're almost a co-writer, to be honest, Richie.
Well, we were speaking, we were like, what is it you want to do? And he was like, I'd love to write a book. I was like, well, why don't you write a book?
Exactly. Yeah, so I sat down and I wrote and I said, I want to write a book. And Richie said, well, go and do it. And I said, right, I will.
And he wrote a book.
108,000 words later, I wrote a book. It's about how technology impacts our lives. And it's about this boy who lives in a perfect world, but he's still tackled by anxiety and depression. And he's saying, I live in this wonderful place. How can I still be depressed and upset? And it really, the whole premise of the story is what would we be prepared to sacrifice for the life that we've always dreamt of?
That's amazing. You are the cleverest guest we've ever had.
That weird, the end of Crazy and Extreme, because then you decide you want to be in the Guinness Book of Records.
I did, yeah. And also my kids wanted me to be in there. So after coming back from the world's toughest ultra marathon, all that time in the desert, my kids basically said, well, we're a bit bored of that now, Daddy. We're not very impressed by that. They liked the bit about pooing in the sand, but apart from that, so they said, right, Daddy, I want you to be in the Guinness Book of Records. So using Richie's philosophy, of course, I said, right, I'm going to set my mind to that. And that's what I did.
How did you go about even getting an attempt?
I know I'm okay at running because I've done marathons and a desert race. So I thought, right, let's do a fancy dress world record. And then you start looking into it and there's all sorts of world records. You've got the world's fastest marathon as a cheerleader, as a postman, as a probably as a sex toy, actually.
and you chose?
So I chose to be the world's fastest marathon dressed as a fisherman.
Freddie actually practiced dressed as a fisherman, full waders, carrying a tin with 3 kilos in, full on yellow suit, running around the streets of Ossley Hill.
Yeah, well, I only practiced for a mile dressed like that. Full yellow waterproof trousers and jacket and hat.
Full knee-length wellies,
yeah. Yeah, full knee-length rubber wellies. And so I went for a little practice run. And there was a poor old lady walking her dog. And the sheer look of, like, it wasn't even, like, fear. It was pure, like, paralysing terror on her face. Like, I looked like a cross between, like, a serial killer and the world's shittest stripper. And you walk in your dog and you've got that running towards you. And, like, you could just see her life flashing before her eyes. And being, like, you know, terribly polite, I had to stop and apologise to her and tell her I wasn't going to take my clothes off or kill her or both and just sort of go on my merry way. But it did mean after that, I only practiced for 1 mile before this race. Yeah.
So did you write to Guinness Book Records and go, yeah, I want to attempt to do the marathon dressed as a fisherman?
Yeah, so someone held the record, apparently, some guy in Los Angeles. Yeah. And the record...
I bet you can't be, you know.
You are hated.
Yeah. And it was 4 hours. What's it?
Do you know his name?
I don't actually know his name. I've been trying to find out.
So it's about you, anywhere, wherever you are.
So the record was 4 hours 45, and I thought, right, I can run a marathon in 3 hours 20 minutes. This will be easy. It's just a pair of welly boots.
So did you then get a letter in the post from Guinness saying, Freddie, you were accepted. Yeah, let's go for this.
I think you do get a letter. Like, now we're in 2019. I think we get emails now. So we've got like an email.
Piss off.
Like in 1998, I'm sure...
Oh, he's getting cocky now. He was all nervous when he walked in.
See, I got a letter or an email.
Through
the
internet.
I just
think a letter's nice.
Yeah, it's not
Hogwarts. I went to a Harry Potter bar the other week. I love all that stuff. We should be more like that. Go on.
Yeah, so it came down the internet. And yeah, they basically... I sent off this email, I think, probably when I was hungover and forgot about it. About 2 months later, they said, right, you're accepted. Wow. Records on. I didn't even sign up for a marathon at this stage. So I had to quickly sign up for the Liverpool Marathon. And then, yeah, I had to get on eBay, buy my rubber outfit. And then, yeah, get it on and not do any training.
Wow.
How long did you run it in?
The record was 4 hours 45 and I did it in 4 hours and 38 seconds.
Oh, you smashed them.
Yeah, 38 minutes, sorry. So, yes, I'm beat it by eight minutes.
8 minutes.
Yeah, but it was the most...
Was it harder than you anticipated?
It was almost as hard as the desert. Like, even in mile one, I thought, I've really underestimated this.
And what was it so bad?
To be honest, I'd just been a bit of a dick in the run-up. I'd been too arrogant. I'd just been there saying, oh, it's a bit of a laugh. Yeah, fisherman, run a marathon. I'd been too arrogant. I'd underestimated it. By mile one, my feet were heating, were heating up and like blistering.
After 1 mile?
Yeah. At mile 10, my toenails started to fall off.
Oh.
And then I think about mile 20, like I could just feel the blood like swashing around inside my... Like, you know, when you get some water in your
wellies.
Was it
that bad?
Yeah.
You've got such determination, like...
Are you sure you're not a serial killer?
I couldn't, like... I'm all for being determined, but I couldn't get past that point.
It was horrible because it was hurting so much. And, like, I was up by Anfield and then, like, Goodison Park, and I knew I was in real trouble. I thought... I spent 3 hours thinking I was going to fail. And then I thought, I'm going to fail and just by a couple of minutes.
So, wait there. You've got your toenails falling off. Yeah. Your feet are blistered. Yeah. Your wellies are pooling with blood. What on earth makes you go, I want to carry on? Like, what makes you not just go, I don't give a shit what everyone else thinks. I give it my best chance. This is now hurting me. I'm stopping.
I think it's probably a bit of stupidity, to be honest. But I think apart from that, I've been asked where the mindset comes from. And I think it's just about thinking there's always something else to give. And it is something that you say sometimes, Richie, about in the gym, where your brain's having you on. And my brain was telling me to stop, but I thought I'm still on my feet and it's hurting, but I could still keep going. And something I tend to say is, you know, still breathing, still winning. So I was like, I'm still breathing, I'm still walking, I'm on my feet, so why not keep pushing forwards?
And through that, you're now an official world record holder.
I am the world record holder. I am the world's fastest fisherman.
I was saying it after this one. Is she like, what the hell is next?
Yeah, so she is saying that already. And,
is she?
I don't know if this is just like I say, like a long midlife crisis or if it's a way of life. But I think it might be a way of life, to be honest. I think now.
So what is next?
So I've got a couple of things coming up. So the desert race that I did, the same distance, about 250 kilometres over about 7-6 days, but I'm doing it in the Arctic.
So in the ice?
Yeah, so I'm swapping sand for snow. And so that one's quite fun because it gets to more minus 40, so like if you stop moving, then you start to die.
I actually think that'd be worse than being in the heat.
Yeah, I think it will be as well.
So when's this?
Well, look at his face, you can't but I get quite excited. Like,
when is this one?
This is...
what year?
I think it's next year. It's the end of
2020.
Next year. Yeah, and my wife doesn't actually know about this one yet.
So Sarah.
So yeah, sorry about that. See, I'm doing that. We're looking at rowing the Atlantic in 2021. I think, yeah, it is about getting the bug now. But you're right. In a weird sort of way, I think I only feel fully alive when I'm pushing myself like that.
Yeah. Obviously, being a dad changed your life. Mm. Losing your dad changed your life.
Yeah.
there's people who are going to be listening to this who, like Harriet's going to be a mum soon, or people who have lost someone. What advice would you give them to be able to take control of their life, or to go away and maybe make them feel a bit happier or more fulfilled?
I think a lot of it that you say is talking about change, and we all have crazy, massive changes in our lives, like you say, like losing someone or giving birth to someone, and these things kind of knock us for six. And it certainly, you know, both those bad and positive events really sort of blew my mind for a little while. I think it's about focusing on what you can control. So sometimes I certainly find that if you're not careful, your mind just goes crazy with all this stuff going on and all this like shit flying at you. And then if you just try and bottle it all up, then you almost just fall apart. And that's certainly what almost happened to me. So I think it's about trying to focus on what can I control? What can I have influence over? And then everything else, just try and let it go over you. And even though I know that's difficult, but trying to focus on your nearest and dearest, what's in your four walls of your house and what's within your control that way. And I think when you look at what is in your control, it's like I said about breaking it down. And I've gone through some really shitty times. I certainly won't sort of dower the podcast with, but what I went through was just trying to say, like, try and look for a win, like any little thing that goes your way, even if it's like you drop your toast and it lands the right side up. So butter's not everywhere. So I just look for something. I think if I can have that one good thing happen to me, then other good things can happen as well. And then if I can control things, focus on making those really small changes just to start to feel more in control, and
things will start coming together.
I mean, when I've felt at my most abandoned and lost in my life, it's when I felt that life was out of control and I had no way of getting things back to how I need them to be. So if you can do anything, just get that control
and there's going to be a lot of people who feel like that, and it just shows how your life can change. And we're right now, everything can feel down and out, and like you say, fines, and just one thing that's going to change, like 6 months, a year, 2 years down the line, your life is completely different. You're in the world record books.
Exactly.
You're going to do all kinds, you've achieved all, do you know what I mean? But from the worst things in your life, the best things are now starting to come from.
Yeah.
Okay, so to finish off, how do you feel now in comparison to how you felt before you started all these challenges?
So I feel a lot more confident, a lot more positive, and I think confidence is so important to people, and we sometimes underestimate how many people out there, even if they're looking, you know, if they're very loud and outgoing and funny on the outside, and that's certainly an act that I've put on in the past, but a lot of people are struggling with their confidence. And so one of my biggest sort of takeaways now is growing my confidence and my belief. And I wouldn't say that I'm totally there. I certainly have down days, but I think I'm better now also at recognizing the warning signs. Something I was touch on earlier is exercise, and now I recognize in myself, like at the moment I can't do any exercise because of my feet, and I get in a really shitty mood and I get really down and depressed, and then it's thinking, actually, is the world falling apart, or is it just because I haven't been to the gym for a week, or I haven't gone for a run or a cycle ride? So it's about putting together those little coping strategies, really. And so I think I feel confident, I feel braver, I feel like I like myself more. I wouldn't say I'm always the biggest self-love advocate like Richie is, but I do feel more at peace with myself, and I feel like I can achieve anything I set my mind to. And I not only want to do that, I want to help other people achieve anything they set their minds to. And I think, you know, why can't we dream big? Why can't we have our dreams come true? And why don't we deserve to have everything that we want happen for us?
When we do. We do deserve it, everyone does. Well done, Freddie. Thanks for coming in. That's the end of the episode. We're going to go to a few more questions now. So if you do want to throw over a message for us to answer at the end of each episode, get in touch on Instagram at GailGayGym. So I've got Sonia, who says, Richie's laugh is worth moving to Liverpool for. Nice one, babe. Her question is, I have my calorie deficit set so I'm allowed 1,500 calories a day. When doing a big session at the gym, I burned 700 calories today. Is it okay to go over slightly on the food side? I'm not looking to lose tons of weight. Right, okay. Basically, if you've set your calories at 1,500 a day, that's over the week. Now, you've got to be careful. So you say, is it okay to go over slightly on your food? It is okay if you're burning the calories. But what you've got to work out is over the 7 day period that your calories hit what you're aiming for you to get the weight loss that you're after or stay at where you want. So just be careful how much you do go over your calories. So just bearing in mind, like we were talking the other week, I've got a client who thought she had gone slightly over. She had a packet of Pringles, which is over 1,000 calories for one tub. So you might think you've burnt loads in the gym, but one pack of Pringles is going to take you right over that, if that makes sense. So to round that up, yeah, you can if you've burnt enough and if it's going to stay consistent with your week. What you want to do is over the 7 day period, just make sure that that number is under and that'll help you with your goal.
Alicia has sent us a message on Instagram. Alicia's actually one of my clients and she's shredding for the wedding. So this is a good question. Alicia's asked us the best low calorie bevvies, or if you're not from Liverpool, the best low calorie drinks that aren't gin. So most spirits are about 70 to 100 calories for a shot. So what I'd say is my number one tip is if you drink spirits, get a tall glass and get a single in a tall glass. That is tip number one of how to save 70 or 100 calories straight away. Another one is watch your mixes. So loads of people, I think the most common thing is getting juices. So if you have like a vodka orange or a vodka cranberry or something like that, cranberry juice, it's not cranberry juice. It's cranberry juice from concentrate. So it's mostly sugar with an extract of cranberry in it. So I would say jib off all the juices and just go for something like Diet Coke. Be quite careful with tonic waters as well, because there's only about 70 calories in a can of Slimline tonic, but there's 150, 200 in a normal can of tonic. So you could have Coke for that. So what I'd say is if they don't have Slimline and you can't see that it's Slimline, jib the tonic off and go for Diet Coke or a zero calorie. Loads of places do like Coke Zero now. Cocktails wise, if you're a cocktail drinker, I would say the more ingredients it's got in it, the more calories it's going to have. So go for something a bit simpler. So if you love a Long Island iced tea, there's loads in it. Go for a Cosmopolitan, it's a quarter of the calories. Wine wise, I tend to avoid wine if you're on a bit of a diet and avoid beer. But if you have to have them, get like a light beer or have it with like, with a little bit of lemon, if they've got diet lemonades or something like that to water it down.
You've been listening to Hattie Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and Richie Swan, also known as Richie Swan, on A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts now to help more people hear about it. And don't forget to follow the socials at Girl Gay Gym on Instagram and Twitter.